Bhakti, real or unreal? Here's the question. People who are devoted to Sai Baba and other spiritual personalities seem to be showing lots of love and peace in their lives. And they seem to be displaying a lot of positive thoughts and bhakti. I see there are many people devoted to Sai Baba and other so-called spiritual personalities. Let's just say spiritual personalities. And these people, they seem to be showing in their life lots of love and peace. You know, they're very loving people, very peaceful. You know, the followers are devoted, so-called. And they seem to be displaying a lot of positive thoughts and a lot of bhakti. So my question is, are they actually experiencing bhakti, like what we are experiencing bhakti, or what we're talking about, devotion to God? This is my question. They seem to be very devoted and very loving and kind, and what's it, you know, and you people are devoted and loving and kind, so they must have bhakti, and you have bhakti, so everybody has bhakti. So what's the answer? No, that has nothing to do with bhakti. What you're seeing, their so-called love and affection and good thoughts and positive vibrations and peace in our lives, has nothing at all to do with bhakti. It is not bhakti at all. The Srimad Bhagavatam and our scriptures, they describe Shastriya Bhakti. Shastriya, devotion based on the Shastra. And this bhakti means transcendental devotion to God. Not bhakti for your dog, or bhakti for your government, or bhakti for your country, or bhakti for your yoga teacher. What they are doing, what these people are doing, has nothing to do with shastras. It is social bhakti, samajika. You know this word, samajika? Samajika. Samaj. Samaj means like family.
Society.
Samajika. Samajik. You say samajik?
Samajik.
This is social bhakti. The word, you can't really even use the word bhakti, because bhakti is transcendental. Bhakti is transcendental. It's causeless. It comes from the spiritual world. It's Krishna Sarup Shakti. It's an amsha of Radharani. And bhakti means connected with Krishna, because Radharani is the connecting link to Krishna. She's the Yoga Maya. She's the Sarup Shakti, Ladini Shakti, the Bhakti Shakti. Shakti is an amsha of Radharani. So if you're doing bhakti, that means you're doing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, not Sai Baba Smaranam, Sai Baba Kirtanam. Bhakti is for Bhagavan. Bhagavan Bhakti. That's it. What they're doing has nothing to do with Shastras. It is social devotion, or you can say, okay, social bhakti, samajika bhakti. What goal, now my question to this person is, what goal or perfection they will attain? In other words, they're very devoted, they're very showing lots of love and peace, they're displaying lots of positive thoughts and bhakti towards Ravi Shankar or Sai Baba. But where will this lead? This action, this abhideya, this abhyasa, whatever they're doing, these shows of devotion, these displays of devotion, love, peace for Sai Baba and other people, where will it actually lead? Where will it actually take them? What goal, what gati, what goal will they actually get from this? They will get nothing.
Not even scruti?
They will get nothing. What they're doing has nothing to do with Shastra. What goal or perfection they will attain? The Shastra doesn't even talk about it. There's nothing in Shastra talking about this. By becoming devoted to Sai Baba or other human gods or godmen like Ravi Shankar, they may attain some so-called material peace or material loving feelings, but they will not attain any of the benefits described in the Shastra, because they're not following the Shastra. The Shastra say if you have devotion to God, then you get Sarupya Mukti, Silokya Mukti, Sharsti Mukti, Samipya Mukti, like this. You know, if you're devoted to God, doing Vishnu Bhakti, Vishnu Upasanam, there's Navavita Bhakti, then you'll get this result. Of course you get peace of mind and you have loving feelings and all these things that you people have loving. Yes, you have loving feelings. We have loving. It's the same thing with the karma thing. You're suffering, we're suffering. You're displaying, yes, we have loving feelings for humanity in relation to Krishna and for Krishna, and very similar. But our loving feelings are expressions of our Bhagavan Bhakti, which is genuine and shastrically supported. And Shastras say if you're showing bhakti towards God in these nine expressions of devotion towards God, and also that includes common man because you're telling about Krishna and distributing prasadam and chanting Hare Krishna and just being a good person, displaying your love of God towards the love of every living entity. But their primary focus in your life is Bhagavan Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti. Then Shastras are saying, this will take me to liberation, this will take me to the spiritual world. But your activities, it doesn't say anything in the Shastra about your activity. Being devoted to some God-man, or being a good guy, or being peaceful, loving, and don't hurt anybody. This is mundane morality. This has nothing to do with transcendence, nothing to do with mukti or liberation. It's not going to get any kind of mukti or liberation. So you will not obtain any of the benefits described in Shastra because they're not following Shastra. For example, we go to a doctor with some particular disease and he prescribes a medicine. If we follow his advice and take the medicine, then a certain result can be expected. It's not that we visit a doctor or consult any medical book and just follow something on our own. You can't expect result. You can't expect the result described in the medical book. Because bhakti is based on principles described in revealed scriptures. It is not based on some individual's imagination or experience. It is God speaking, and he has given the system and qualifications to practice it. So if you follow the spiritual scriptures and teachings, you will attain the result described therein. Nowadays, bhakti has become a very popular word. It's very popular, you see everywhere. As I say, the same thing I was telling you before, all the Mayavadis talking about love, devotion, but it ends up, you say, what is your goal? Merging, oneness, you're all God. It's marketing. It's cheating. Like I said, it's cheating. You see all these Mayavadis, you never used to touch the Srimad Bhagavatam because it's all about bhakti, but now they realize they can't get a following unless they hold a Bhagavad Saptaha. Swami Chinmayananda, this Ananda, that Ananda, having Bhagavad Saptaha. Oh, Bhagavad Saptaha, that's good, it's piety, it's good to hear Bhagavad. Okay, I go. Then they just preach all nonsense from the Bhagavatam and misinterpretations and all kinds of Mayavadi philosophy. But they gather the people on the pretext of Bhagavatam because people know that hearing Bhagavad 7 days is very good, it's pious, it's a beneficial thing. They want to get some sukriti. They have some good motivation to come and hear, but then they get cheated because it's the age of cheating. It's the age of cheating and quarreling. As we said, cheating is rampant. So if you follow the spiritual scriptures and teachings, you will attain the result described therein. Nowadays, bhakti has become a very popular word. Love. Everyone's talking about love. Even impersonals are talking about love, although they have nothing to do with love. Impersonalists have nothing. What does that have to do with love? Impersonal means no person. Love means between persons. The supreme person and the small person. The finite, the infinite and the finite. The infinite Lord and the finite Jiva. Jiva and Paramatma. Atma and Paramatma. Prem Sambandha. But even all the Mayavadis. You see all these great TV shows and all these things. Love, love, peace, love. Bhakti. There's so many. You look in the newspaper, so many. Lecture. Even they have lectures. You see lectures in Chinmay Mission. And seven-day lecture on bhakti. Bhakti yoga. You know, it's our product, and they're using it to sell Mayavad philosophy. It's unbelievable. It used to be they would all. It used to be when my first Bhagavad Gita was by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was a Mayavadi, and I only had six chapters. And I thought, oh, Bhagavad Gita, I bought Bhagavad Gita. I said, wait, it's only six chapters. I didn't know. And somebody said, you read it? I said, yeah, I read it. It's only six chapters. No, it's 18 chapters. I said, what do you mean 18 chapters? Because the first six chapters are all yoga, and karma, and then chapters 7 through 12 is bhakti. And 13 through 18 is Gyan. You know, Gyan Yoga. So, or Gyan, some Gyan Mishra Bhakti, but Bhakti is 7 through 12. So he just, forget about it, I'm not going to deal with the Bhakti. But now, because he's Mayavadi, he doesn't even know, the Bhakti is just six chapters, forget about the rest of it. Doesn't exist. But now Bhakti is so popular, and love is so popular, because this is the age of Prem Dharma. This is the Yuga. This is the Prem Yuga. Lord Chaitanya has come to initiate the Prem Yuga. So it's so powerful that these guys have to deal with it. Even the Mayavadis are forced to deal with Prem and Bhakti. Because this is our time to have the floor. It's like, you know, okay, now you have the floor, you speak. There's a debate somewhere, and one guy speaks. Okay, now Ravindra, your turn. Okay, well, let me speak. So the Mayavadis had the floor 2,000 years ago, Shankara. Shankara came 2,000 years ago, and he propagated his philosophy. And then, or 2,500 years ago, and then, or no, and then Buddha 2,000 years ago, then Shankara 1,800 years ago, and like this. So now the Gaudiyas have the floor. Prem Dharma. Everywhere chanting Hare Krishna. Everywhere you go, chanting Hare Krishna boxes. Everywhere, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, everywhere. And Mayavadi, Shankara Krishna, everybody chanting Hare Krishna. Nobody can figure out what's what. You're talking bhakti, they're kind, loving, and sweet, you're kind, loving, and sweet. He's quoting Bhagavad Gita, you're quoting Bhagavad Gita. They're quoting Bhagavatam. They take Bhagavad Gita, and they take Bhagavatam, our scriptures, and then they preach Mayavad conclusion, Mayavad Siddhanta. It's very difficult to find out the real thing. But they don't know anything about bhakti. They don't know anything. They're talking about love. Even impersonals are talking about love, although they have nothing to do with love. They also have kirtans. They also worship deities. They also do chanting. Everyone is talking about love, chanting, and bhakti. But what do they know about bhakti? What is their understanding of bhakti? They only know that they only know that only they know. Bhakti is, we know what bhakti is. Anyabhilashishinyam, it's not covered by jnana or karma. You don't want anything in this world. You don't want any jnana or karma. But all these people are offering so many benefits, boons, benedictions, this, that, the other thing. Art of living, this and that. But their understanding of bhakti, they only know. When we talk about bhakti, we have a clear understanding of what it is. We are not in confusion about this word. Nobody knows what they mean when they use the word love, bhakti, and peace. But when the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about bhakti and love, they all have a specific, clear meaning. We don't know exactly what is bhakti or love. What result will we get? If we have faith in Krishna's words, then Bhagavad Gita, Krishna clearly says, Yishastra vidam utsrija vartateka makarata nasasinu vapnoti nasukam namparampitim. If you disregard Shastra, Yishastra vidam utsrija, utsrija means you tyag. You throw away shastras and just do your self-styled upasana, follow whatever you want, then nasa sinava vafnati. You don't get any siddhi, and you don't get any happiness or perfection. So those who give up enjoyment and act according to their own will, they attain nothing. But they give up the shastras and act according to their own will. First we should know the shastra, then act accordingly. Other people's paths we don't care about. But they can't claim to attain a result described in our revealed scriptures. And they don't try to. But in 2005, it's all about, I define, the first classes are about bhakti, 7 days defining what is bhakti. It's only for the pleasure of Krishna. They never talk about Krishna as acting favorably for Krishna's pleasure. What is those actions? Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaran. They don't talk, they just say bhakti, love. And Hare Krishna, Kirtan, Harmonium, and all sweetness. And then they start preaching, and it's, oh, you're a God, we're a God, merging this, that, and it's like a billboard or something, a signboard to get people in your shop. Half price sale. Half price sale, come on in. So then you come in and say, what's half price? Oh, those crappy shoes over there are half price. Everything else is full price. People do like that. They have sale, sidewalk sale, this, that, the other thing. There's different levels of consciousness in terms of orientation toward God. So there's also jiva inside a rock, but it's like in Shantaras, very covered. Because in the ultimate issue, everything is consciousness, because everything emanates from the Supreme Consciousness. That's like I said, the whole material energy and everything in the material energy is like an iceberg floating in the ocean of consciousness. The background of everything is consciousness. So rock is part of consciousness. They're living entities. There's jivas in the rock, but those jivas are not very mobile. They're not very conscious. And they're not doing much. They're like mayavadis. They're merged. They're simply merged in the energy. They're not expressing any individual. They're not expressing any service. They're not expressing any mobility. So they're extremely, 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 extremely covered consciousness. No service, no action, no interaction, just like a rock. But that's consciousness also. Jiva's there. Then you come up higher forms of life, then the consciousness becomes more expressed. Then there's plant life and fish life and insect life and bird life and animal life and subhuman life and human life and demigod life. And so in different forms of life, there's different levels of consciousness, different degrees of consciousness and orientation towards God being expressed. Interest in God, curiosity about God, understanding of God, perception of God. It's different in different forms. So some people have human form, but they're like in animal consciousness. Yeah, and it's all the modes of nature are all involved everywhere. This whole material world is built of the three modes of nature. They're everywhere. So people that are agnostic and atheistic, they're very much ignorant. Because ignorance, these are all philosophies based on ignorance. Envy, ignorance. So that's their free will. They have the free will to turn away from God and exercise their independence. And so Krishna covers them. From Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Because their desire is such that they don't want anything. They want to turn completely away from God and ignore God. They want to ignore God. Ignorance. Nauseous means knowledge. So ignatius means absence of knowledge. Ignorance. So they don't want any awareness of God. They don't want any reminder of God. They want to live in their own way. So Krishna gives them, of course, you can never live without God, because Krishna, even to live, Krishna has to give all facilities for the demons and agnostics to live. The air, the water, the food, the digestion, everything is going on. And that's his mercy. Even you want to hate me and forget me and ignore me and go away from me, okay, I'll give you all facility to do it. I give you the intelligence to forget me. I give you the intelligence to criticize me and write against me and all kinds of things. So this is the unlimited nature of God's compassion. Even you want to write articles decrying God, saying God is dead, God does not exist, science rules, then that takes intelligence. That intelligence is Krishna. That ability is Krishna. So this is the mercy of Krishna. There's three ways to perceive the Absolute Truth. Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavanati, Shabhyate. And as I said, there's so much hierarchy in everyone. Different levels of Brahman, different levels of Paramatma, different levels of Bhagavan realization. So if one is going towards the Absolute, that is good. Tamasi mam jyotirgamam. The Upanishads, it says, come out of the darkness. And darkness means animal life. Animal life is darkness. No idea of God, no conception of God, no interest in God of any form or any aspect. That's total animal life, total sensual life, carnal life. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma irindriya priti aprinoti. Prahlad Maharaj says that people that are mad after sense gratification are like animals. So animals have no idea of God, and they cannot ask any questions. Who am I? Who is God? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? So people that are asking those questions and finding answers through Mayavad philosophy or Buddhist philosophy or other demigod worship or other types of upasana, at least they're going in some type of direction, forward. It's slow. If they're blessed by the Lord, then they'll come to bhakti by the mercy of devotees. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. The Guru repeats their scriptures. There's bhakti shastras and there's yoga shastras, there's all kinds of shastras. Karma, there's a Varnashram shastras, Dharma shastras, many, many shastras. There's unlimited shastras. So we don't propose to know all the unlimited shastras. We are interested in bhakti, so we are trying to study the bhakti shastras and associate with the bhakti yogis and the teachers of those shastras. So we know this. We can tell you what we know. Like I study some field of knowledge in college, so I can talk about that field because I studied it to some extent. But I can't start talking about architecture if I never studied architecture. That would be ludicrous. There's so many subjects in college, I can't suppose to be a master of all of them. So Bhagavad Gita talks about bhakti. The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to show the glories of bhakti as opposed to karma and jnana. So these are the three main philosophies in the world. There's two main branches of philosophy, personal and impersonal, Advaita and Vaishnava, Savishesh Brahma and Nirvishesh Brahma. And then in these philosophies of personal and impersonal, then there's impersonal conception of God and personal conception of God. Then there's karma, jnana, and bhakti. Bhakti is for the personal conception, and karma and jnana for impersonal conception, exploitation or renunciation. Exploitation is karma philosophy, renunciation is jnana, Brahma Sayuja, and devotional divine love is bhakti. So we are exponents of bhakti, bhakti tattva, bhakti siddhanta. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Goswami Granth and books by our acharyas, these are the books that we study, and we follow this upasana, bhakti upasana. So if you want to know something about this, we can help you. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in some other thing, then we say all glories, you carry on.
That's what I said.
No. I don't know much about your thing, and I'm very, you know, I can tell you about my thing. If you like it, you take it. If you don't, then give it back.